Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On today's episode, we are part two of Eating Utensils.
Eating Utensils.
Yes, we are continuing. After last week's episode of the brief history of eating utensils, this week we're going into the design, the appropriate use of different cutlery. But first, the intro.
I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a pawn while they play. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people?
Yes. I wanted to do this show, and I spoke about this a little bit last week. Mm-hmm. I like to share with the listeners the genesis of how I come up with certain shows, or how we come up with certain shows.
Yeah, the ideas, how the shows were created.
Yeah. You know, the inspiration. Now, I mean, it was, I remember being in the server station, and, you know, Phil comes by, and he's like, "Hey, pass me a butter knife." And I kind of just tossed it over. I was like, "It's not a butter knife, you know, it's a dinner knife." Yeah. But that shows me that it might be something that's interesting to for people to know. Mm-hmm. Right. And in today's episode, we're going to discuss, it's a fun little discussion about the proper cutlery for the right food, you know.
Yeah, he went through the history last week. If you guys weren't, if you're out of order, we went through the history, and now we're at the point of all the different cutleries.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the history of mostly they started as tools,
necessarily eating utensils.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, not necessarily for eating, but they started cooking utensils. Mm-hmm. You mean, and then they evolved because people just ate with their hands, yeah. Or you know, ate however they ate, but they didn't really give proper.
Utensils for a while, actually.
and that had to do with tools and manufacturing, yeah. And things like that. There was not proper, but evolved manufacturing. Yeah. So those utensils, they evolved as
society evolved.
Society evolved. Correct. And let's start with, the most, I think, I thought it was going to be the most varied. Which utensil you believe is most varied?
Varied?
Mm. Varied. Like has many, many, many variations.
Oh, the fork.
I thought so as well. It's the spoon.
Oh.
Yeah. We're going to start with the fork, though.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's go into the... And we're going to talk about the functional ones, okay? Mm-hmm. They're specialized forks.
Yeah.
They're specialized eating utensils. And it's in the show, we're just going to talk about things that you might,
you might already know but didn't know.
And be interested in.
Exactly.
And, we're not going to go into, stuff that, a tree fork. I don't know. We'll keep it relevant as possible and interesting as possible. We're going to include as many photos in the show notes as possible. Well, links to photos in the show notes on our website, The Modern Waiter Podcast. I'll be able to actually put up actual pictures there if you want to have a
check it out reference. On the web, and you get catch up on everything.
Yes, I like the way you said that. Now, we're going to start with the dessert fork.
Yes,
and it's pretty easy. I grew up knowing what a dessert fork is.
I grew up having them in my house. I know what it was.
Yeah.
Now that I'm looking, I'm like, oh, I've seen that my whole life.
Exactly. And there's, it's pretty much a cake fork.
Yeah.
Three tines, mm-hmm. usually. And it's usually a little bit
Smaller, right?
It's definitely smaller. Yeah. It's shorter, smaller in all dimensions.
When I was younger, I think that's why I use them all the time when I was a little kid. You know, like when I was younger, I think that's why I use them all the time when I was a little kid because it fit my hand.
Oh, yeah. You think it's
I thought it was my fork.
True. Pass me the baby fork.
Right?
You know? And it's not really worth mentioning too much about a dessert fork other than it's a smaller three-tined fork.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I wouldn't quibble if you gave me a dinner fork for my cake at all.
No, not even thinking about it.
Let them eat cake.
Right?
And there's a fish fork that's pretty doggone interesting.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I mean, obviously in an upscale restaurant, they don't necessarily fillet the fish in the kitchen and bring it to your table. You're going to have one or two scenarios.
Yeah.
The waiter's going to fillet it table side, or you're going to get the whole doggone fish on your plate because some fish don't necessarily, by the time, put it this way, part of the whole deal is the whole fish.
Yeah.
You know?
Certain fishes, absolutely.
Yeah. You ever try to fillet a fish and you got nothing left?
It's really already an art form to me already, so I let the people that know how to do it do it for me.
Yeah, but I take you don't go fishing or anything like that.
I mean, I have, but the people I go with, they always fillet my fish for me.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, they know how to fish. Yeah. I just kind of accompany them and enjoy myself and learn, but that's about it.
Hey, I'm not much of a fisherman myself. Yeah. But I've definitely tried to fillet some fish. And some fish, you just got to eat it as it, you know, as it's presented on your plate,
mm-hmm.
you know, if at home or otherwise. So the fish fork is quite asymmetrical, you know.
Yeah. And I like the style of this thing, actually.
It's pretty cool. And obviously, like any other, you know, utensil, they're very varied. But the whole idea is for you to scrape and scoop.
Okay. Or scrape.
So one side tends to be flatter, so you get you know, bone side, you scrape from the spine down,
mm-hmm.
or if you're getting between the bones, and that's why you have a shorter side for the, you know, because fish, they get small on one end and bigger on the other, and it's just a tool that you can kind of work around, and it's an asymmetrical fork.
Yeah, I like it.
Now, an oyster fork. Or a cocktail fork. They're...
Are they the same?
Same, same, but different.
Okay, because I was going to say, okay, yeah.
Well...
I've seen what I thought was a cocktail fork, and it's... But this is... It makes sense, because they look very similar.
They are very similar. So the cocktail fork...
is thinner, right?
It's thinner.
That's what I thought.
You're correct. It's thinner, and it usually only has two tines.
Okay.
You know, and it's designed to really stab the little shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, there is a shrimp fork as well. It's ridiculous. Yeah. There are too many. but the oyster fork, I don't eat oysters. I know most people will just end up using a cocktail fork for the oyster fork.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to just lump those two together.
Got it.
Right? And the dinner fork. Come on now. I would use that for everything, you know. I use that for my cake,
for your cake,
my clams,
all that.
I could get in there. Yeah. I could get it.
You can make it because you can make it work. You could just stick like half that little, like the two
yes.
tines in and get something out and make
two,
it work.
Two of the four tines, yes. You make that little corner. I don't need a cocktail fork to get in my clam. The clam opened up.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
I'm not waiting. Come on now. I got this. I got a fork. I'm in.
Yep.
So it is. Now, when you go to some restaurants that have the table settings,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the dinner fork is going to be the one closest to you on the left, closest to the plate, because
okay.
you're going to work your way from the outside in.
So wait, it goes. Isn't there? Wouldn't there be a fork before that one?
Yeah, salad fork.
Okay.
Yeah. So closest to you would be the dinner fork. One more out would be the salad fork. One more out would be the fish fork.
Oh, I got
what
you're talking about. Closest to your right hand or to your...
To your left.
You're confusing me right now.
The knife has the right hand.
Yes.
Fork has the left hand.
Yeah. So closest to the knife is the dinner fork, right?
Ooh, no. The opposite sides of the plate.
Okay. I'm keep listening.
Okay, so your belly's going to be where the plate is, yes. Right? So you're going to rest your hands, you know.
Got you.
Right.
I understand.
Now, there can be, we're gonna work on a show, an etiquette show later on. So we'll talk about that at a different time. It can be a little confusing of what, sometimes you're sat really close mm-hmm. to the next person, okay? And if you see their utensils or their plate or their glass and you're not sure which one is yours, there's a way that you can, you know, kind of tell which drink and which bread plate is yours.
Yeah.
Because the bread plate is going to go above the forks, mm-hmm. okay? Or the B&B plate or whatever the case may be. If you were to make an okay sign, okay, but just tighten up your fingers, right? Now, on your right hand, what letter does that look like?
A B. No, a D.
It looks like a D.
Yeah.
And now on the left hand, what does that letter look like?
A B.
A B. So the B is for the bread. So gotcha. The bread plate is going to be on your left. And the D is for the drink. Your drinks are going to be on the right.
Ah.
All right.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
quality.
All right. So we're going to move on from the dinner fork because that's my favorite fork. Nice and broad. I could get stuff in there.
Simple.
And I could a salad fork.
I can eat with a salad fork.
I could eat a salad with my dinner fork.
Yeah.
You know?
Both. Exactly.
But that one's going to come, that's going to sit right next to the dinner fork.
Okay.
And usually you're going to have those two, most courses are just going to be salad.
Salad and an entree,
you
yeah.
know, yeah, exactly. So the cocktail fork is going to rest on the outside of that salad fork usually. Mm-hmm. And they're going to basically, you know, in a fancy restaurant, they'll load you up, but you know, depending on what courses, you're not really choosing necessarily. You're being served, so yeah. then you just know which way to go.
You just work your way in.
You just work your way in. Now, the salad fork also usually has four tines. It's just smaller.
It's a little smaller in length.
Yeah, it's a little smaller in length. Not much to say about it. Kind of boring. Kind of knockoff of the dinner fork. You know,
yeah,
the big boss. The big boss. Now we're gonna skim over some of the a fruit fork. It is basically a glorified cocktail fork.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna stab out of a fruit bowl.
It just stabs. It looks like it's just a stabber.
Yeah, it's literally the two tine cocktail fork. You know, if you get your bowl of fruit,
yeah.
you know, there's really not much. You ever try to stab fruit, eat fruit? I eat fruit cups all the time, especially when we're in Vegas. I try to get some of that stuff into me. And it bounces around from the four times.
Yeah.
yeah. It moves on you.
Yeah.
So I could see where, you know, you'd want either like a single pick type of, you know.
Yeah, especially because with like, you know, with the grapes or something like that that's round,
mm-hmm.
like all the rounder fruits, like exactly what they're showing, the blueberries and the black, they do move right on you.
Yeah. And so we pretty much went through, in my opinion, the functional forks,
yeah.
okay? Now, an interesting fork, I believe, is the spaghetti fork, because this came up a few times. And the spaghetti fork seems very, very interesting.
Yeah, it does.
It's a three-tine fork with some knobs on it.
Look, so for the twirling.
For the twirling, yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
I see. That
now,
makes sense
now. It has these protruding notches on the outside or on the inside mm-hmm. to really stabilize the spaghetti once you twirl and lift it, you know?
Yeah.
And last week we talked about how, you know, I was wondering about if people have to use a spoon, you
with
know.
This fork, it looks like you don't.
We've been using the wrong fork the whole time. It's not the spoon.
It's the fork.
It's the fork. And I had no idea a spaghetti fork existed.
That makes perfect sense, though.
That makes perfect sense. Are you bougie enough to buy one, though?
No. But I like the idea. I would love, actually, I don't even really eat pasta right now. So it's just like.
Fair enough.
But I could totally see you get that full spin. It will look like almost like Lady and the Trampish.
Yes. And then the last fork that I think is super interesting, but definitely not functional, is the ice cream fork.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Why? I mean...
Why do I like it?
Yeah.
Yo, because... Well, so when we were talking about it on the other show... And we looked it up. Remember, we looked it up, mm-hmm. and we were like, ice cream fork, what is that? And you were like, does it look like a spork? And it kind of does.
It kind of does.
And it's functional when you look at it. It's like a spoon mixed with a fork. And I like the idea because, like you said, ice cream is usually, you know, harder. So mm-hmm. it cuts through that and gets you a good scoop. I dig it. Yeah. That might be something I would buy. Okay. Just to be like, yo, people came over like... And I give them a fork and start spinning, and be like, yo, that's... And then I want to see their faces when they try it.
That would be a cool conversation piece.
Yeah.
No doubt they will call it a spork, though.
Absolutely.
It is a spork, I'm sorry. It is a spork. But the tines are longer than a regular spork. And it does have a bowl shaped throughout the whole thing. It's interesting looking.
I dig it.
I don't know.
I'm not eating anything else with it, but I think I could. I think I might be able to.
I just
like want to
know, where does one buy
an ice cream fork?
Yeah. Williams-Sonoma?
We're going to find out.
Okay.
Right? Not right now, but I'm going to find out. We'll put in the notes.
Yes.
Because I don't want to make all that clicking noise real quick.
We're going to link you up. If you want to be a bougie bastard,
we're going to hook you up. We're going to tell you where to buy the ice cream fork. So check out the show notes. He's going to tell you exactly where to buy it at.
Now, transitioning now to spoons.
Boom.
When I tell you that there's a tool for every job, the same goes for spoons.
Yeah, I believe it.
There are as much as 61 different types of spoons.
When
I'm doing my research, they have names.
There's 61 different named spoons.
It's ridiculous.
61 different functions.
Please, listen. We're not going there, okay? It's ridiculous. But, you know, we're gonna go through the interesting ones and the functional ones.
Okay.
Ones that you might see in and about your dining experiences. And that's all I care to deal with, okay? Now, interesting and specialized is the sugar spoon.
Okay.
Really? You need a sugar spoon?
Is it for measuring sugar?
No, that's what teaspoons, tablespoons, all that stuff are there for.
Oh, I've seen that spoon before. That's what they use for tea. Like when you're at, like if you're, it looks very like British to me. Like, remember you like, you know how they have that little, they have the little tea clumps? It looks like that's the spoon that they, back in the day, used to have cubes. That looks like what there was in, if you watch older historian like mm-hmm. shows, that's the exact spoon they would put the, you know, give me one lump or two. That's the spoon. I think that might be where the term is from.
Good Lord, that's awesome. Now, the primary use, it says, is for granulated sugar, though. But what you're saying made sense. I thought that when they were using the cubes, that they used the little...
Tweezer-looking clamps or something? Like a tong.
Yes, tongs.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But I think that's still the same idea of what I'm talking about, because I know I've seen them and it just looks like the bowl, but you know.
Yeah.
But I think that's where the term one lump or two comes from.
It's possible. Now, the sugar spoon does have a small soup spoon-esque. It's mm-hmm. very rounded in the bowl of the I don't know what that end of the spoon is called.
Yeah.
The opposite of the handle, but I'm going to call it a bowl.
Okay. No, it says the bowl, yeah.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Woo-woo. They do have deeper bowls. They have fluted edges along the bowl.
Mm-hmm. Now, the soup spoon, those are pretty varied, but I dig this design that we're looking at.
You know what's funny is I've, you know, a soup spoon to me is totally different than what I'm looking here, but I always see these at the Asian restaurants.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So they actually have the true proper soup spoon when we're if you look at it.
And they there's a category there is a and there is a spoon called the Chinese spoon.
Okay.
It could be Asian, but I'm just going from memory. And it's a deeper
Yeah.
you know curvature of what we're looking at, but I dig these soup spoons here. They do look like a hybrid, a metal hybrid of that.
Exactly what we're talking about.
Yes. You know, and I could just imagine the dumpling's going to fit right in there real nice and nice and easy.
Like you're getting the chunks plus.
Yes. And that's what I want from my soup spoon. I want to be able to get the chunks plus.
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit of broth, a little bit of everything.
Yes. It almost looks like a mini ladle.
Yeah. It does.
Without a doubt, the mini ladle. Dessert spoon? Come on now. Really? That should be the ubiquitous spoon. Honestly, what's it giving me? Size? No, looks average.
They're just a little bit smaller than the regular
spoons. Yeah, they're a little ridiculous. Now, the beverage spoon, I need to buy one.
Oh, the teaspoon. Yeah. I mean, not like a tea, but I call them the teaspoon because they're longer. They fit in like an iced tea.
Then you got to say iced teaspoon because a teaspoon is a teaspoon.
Yes.
Right? So the beverage spoon, yes, you're in a, whether it's a Collins glass or an iced tea or not quite as long as a bar spoon, but it resembles a shorter version of the bar spoon.
Yeah.
I would like a teaspoon. I mean, a beverage spoon, because I make some beverages and I need either a bar spoon, but the bar spoon could be a little
too big sometimes.
Yes, yeah. Yes. This looks like
it looks like it's right up the alley that you're looking for, because you're not using full on. You know, you're not making multiple drinks in a bigger thing.
Correct. Yeah. I'm not using a big shaker tin and all that stuff. Plus, I don't even know if my jaw is that long. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm interested in this this grapefruit spoon.
Okay.
And it looks like a hybrid. What would you call the hybrid between a spoon and a knife? Okay. If the spork.
A spife. SP.
Yeah, I got F-E. It's a SPFE for sure.
Yes.
Because it has serrations. It has an angle to the spoon.
Yeah.
And serrations on each side of the angle going down to the point.
Yeah, they're cutting through that grapefruit.
They're cutting the segments out for sure.
Yeah, they're digging in.
And when I was a kid, I would use a paring knife to kind of get the segments out.
It almost looks like a paring knife, like the way the serrations are.
I prefer this spoon. This is a... But I don't eat that many grapefruits, one a year.
I don't eat grapefruit at all, so but I just like how the knife looks. I mean, the fork.
Yes, yeah, you got confused too. The spife got you.
It got me.
I would like to use one of these caviar spoons.
Ah, I don't really like caviar.
I've never had it. Oh, really? I mean,
you have.
When?
We had it at the job.
That don't mean I ate it. I mean, listen, good caviar. I'm not talking about, you know, regular, like, you know.
I know what you mean.
Crappy, you know, fish roll crap, you know. I'm talking caviar. And they're usually made from, you know, other materials other than metal.
Yeah.
Okay.
This looks like a pearlish, but it's not. I'm sure. I don't know what it
is. Mother of pearl.
Okay.
You know, they're made from gold or animal horn or wood. I can only imagine that, you know, you don't want any necessarily a metal taste to conflict with the, you know, what you're paying for in this caviar.
If it's already expensive to eat the caviar, I might as well do it with the gold too.
But it's a nice small. It kind of looks like an upscale baby spoon.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
It does.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if I was a baby, I'd know I was rich. You know?
It does look just like a baby spoon.
But it looks pretty slick. It's the spoon that lets you know. You've arrived? You're sitting on high cotton. Okay? You are from privilege.
Yes.
Just so you know. And good transition. There's the baby spoon. Generally a soft material.
Mm-hmm.
A small bowl.
Yeah.
And an extended handle for
us to serve the baby with.
Yes. Yes, because the baby is not handling anything. The baby is throwing, if anything.
It's sticking its finger in it and then licking its finger.
Yeah, but there, I mean, some kind of, what's that safe rubber that, you know, silicon? Silicon is probably made out of?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah, it says baby spoons. Rubber. Yes, yes. And, you know, that way when they bite down.
Exactly.
You know, they're not chipping a gum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, it's really interesting that, you know, the little baby spoons that we use for the espressos.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize they're called a demitasse spoon.
Yes.
But correcting people is kind of like you look kind of, you know.
Whatever. Like it also says commonly known as espresso spoons. So you're not saying it wrong.
It is. Just saying. Just saying.
And they're perfect for that little cup too.
Oh, without
a doubt. There is no other spoon that fits in that cup.
No. You got to have one. I have a crap load of those, and I don't even drink any espressos. How I came by them, I will never know.
Well, because if you can't just buy one of those. They if you come, they're so small, they're going to come like a little case for at least 30 or something like that.
That's true. That is true. So coming out of this, I think you're gonna buy the ice cream fork.
Yes.
And I'm going to buy the beverage spoons.
Okay.
You know? You have any more, anything interesting?
On here? Oh, on the we found the China spoon.
Yes. Yeah, the Chinese spoon. I mean, that's just perfect for the dumplings. I don't know if I want to. I don't think they'll sit well in my drawer, a set of these.
No, but I mean, but you can't go wrong with them.
I mean, come on now. There's a salt spoon? That is ridiculous.
I mean, it's got to have, is it the same idea as just like?
As a sugar spoon?
Yes. That's what I'm guessing.
It looks different.
But look, for the Chinese, oh, no. I'm sorry. I was about to say something wrong. I thought I read it wrong, but it read right.
Now, I mean, I want to move on from the spoons because there's so many. I mean, but they start to transition into tools more so than anything. There's ladles, and you're not going to eat with a ladle. Certainly you're going to serve with it. But, you know, the interesting one in this category that I thought was the spaghetti spoon. And I really didn't know the function of the hole inside of the spaghetti spoon.
Oh, okay. And I've seen plenty of those before. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Apparently, it's for measuring the dry pasta for one serving.
That makes perfect sense.
Or spaghetti. Well, obviously, we're talking spaghetti spoon. And I had no idea.
That makes perfect sense.
You know, those the claw shape. Yeah. I knew that, hey, you could
dig in there.
You could dig in there, break up, and you grab the spaghetti out with it. But then that hole, I always thought
the hole was to drain out the water when you picked it up.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But the illustration here shows, yes, that you fit as much pasta for one person.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I never know how much pasta to make.
That makes perfect sense.
And like you, I don't eat as much pasta.
Yeah.
And I attempt to at least use the semolina wheat, the drum wheat, mm-hmm. or something like that, or other, you know, pastas made from other grains.
Grains, yeah, okay.
Texture's not the same. I understand that's the whole point. I found one that's okay, but I just eat just less pasta.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, pasta, one of those things is, either you're gonna, if you're eating it,
you gotta eat it.
You're gonna eat it.
You it's like mac and cheese. You can't make that healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You just gotta go for it. You know, just deal with it.
Just deal with it.
Yeah, man. Now let's dive into the knives.
The knives.
You know, and we did mention before, like more than any other utensil, the knives, in my opinion, are very mostly specified tools. So I could only come up with, you know, a handful of knives that you're going to encounter in your dining experience. And, you know, you can eat anything with a dinner fork, or you can eat soup with a soup spoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really not opening, like, you're not shucking oysters with a dinner knife.
No.
You know, the handle's too long, the point, the tip is not, you know, flat enough or more reinforced and things like that.
The knife is definitely a tool that has its def, it needs what it has.
It, well said. Strangely eloquent. Let's get into the knife. My favorite knife, the steak knife.
Okay.
I don't eat a lot of steak, but it's clearly a functional eating utensil.
Mm-hmm.
I like steak knives with, if they're going to be metal, I like them to be heavy because you want to be able to drive that force through the steak. If it's, you know, has a wooden handle, I like the handle to be
sturdy.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, fits in your hand. I can't stand when you go and they give you that like plastic, that stamp plastic handle and it's small.
Yeah, it's bad.
At least give me a big handle knife.
Yeah.
Come on now. You know, it's what's your favorite knife?
Favorite. You know, I love a good steak knife, but I don't know. I guess I'm just so used to the regular dinner knife.
The dinner knife.
Yeah.
Yes. Now the dinner knife is
not the butter Swiss knife.
Yeah, not the butter knife. So let's talk about the dinner knife. The dinner knife is. It's the main show.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you're going to have.
What you're very used to seeing everywhere with the serrations.
Very small serrations. Mm-hmm. And it, a lot of it times it has a part, the serrations don't go all the way to
only to like halfway.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, so it's for both cutting and spreading and separating basically.
Yeah.
And it has enough length for the leverage of
eating. To do what you need to do, yeah.
To do what you need to do. Now, moving on to the butter knife, which I own a butter knife, but as you can...
You really don't use it.
I don't use it. I don't use it.
I remember growing up, people used to leave their butter knives in the fridge with their little... Remember how you had the butter dishes in your fridge?
Mm-hmm.
You have the butter in there, and it's like a nice little... like some ceramic or, you know, whatever kind of thing.
Okay.
And they'd be nice and cold and they had people used to keep the butter knife right in there with it.
Really?
Yeah. And they just cut off that butter and just like let it just.
Wow. That's terrible. Because usually the butter knife has a smaller handle.
Yeah.
And I associate the butter knife with people that leave the butter out on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's softer.
It's easier to.
So the butter knife, no serrations. It's usually wider, and you're going to get, you know, it's for cream cheeses, jams,
spreads.
Jelly spreads.
My when the man. Spread comes out.
The spreads. And now the dessert knife, it really coincides with what dessert they're going to be serving you at the restaurant.
And it kind of looks like a butter knife in itself.
It kind of looks like a butter knife in itself, or it can have a narrow tip. This one has a rounded tip, usually very thin. And certain desserts like torts and, you know, things like that, you got to cut into it, separate it, whatever the case may be.
Slice and dice.
Slice and dice. On a fully marked table. If I'm not mistaken, and you could correct me on this, I do not believe that the dessert knife and fork are going to be
there.
They're going to be there, Okay, they don't have to be there.
Gotcha.
I believe they're served at they're placed at the top of the plate. But on the handles are going to face the direction of which hand is going to be pulling it.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the dessert knife should be on top of the dessert fork. The handle is going to point towards the right if it's the knife, and the handle is going to point towards the left if it's the dessert fork.
Okay.
So then you just pull down that way accordingly with the correct hand. But I'm not sure. I'm not 100% on the... I'm 100% on the... the dessert fork, though, that's if it's a fully set table. Mm-hmm. If it's not, they're just going to mark the table when they, you know, they remove the charger and all your, when you, when they clear the table, basically, they're going to just mark the table for the correct utensil that you're going to be using for dessert.
Dessert, yeah.
Yes. Cheese knife. I used to love cheese. And there's not one knife for, you know, here's the soft cheeses, semi-soft cheeses, hard cheeses,
things like that. Yeah, it's like three or four different cheese knives.
Yeah. They usually have a short handle because the cheese knives are usually placed on the cheese board. So you mm-hmm. want it all to fit there. They usually wood to match the cheese board. They usually have like a short flat blade, whether it's angled or, you know, looks like a scraper or something like that. And that's functional. You know, you might go to a wine and cheese event. Maybe someone else is handling the the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're the you're responsible you're the for, you know,
slicing,
you know, if you come by and then the cheese is in a block or whatever and you just come by and,
yep.
and then keep going, you know. So that's as much as I wanted to kind of.
So, yeah, we covered all of them. I mean, all the ones that anybody else is going to use. You know, I was just going through and I saw one that I was like, I didn't even, and I own this knife and I didn't even know what it was for.
Talk to me.
The frozen food knife.
Listen, I saw that and I was so ashamed of myself.
Yeah, because you get it in every single, like when you get a kit of knives, it's in every single one. I had no idea what it was
not
for.
Not necessarily every single, but
a good
you
amount.
You get a serrated knife. But the serrated knife with the
little fork, the spork thing, like on the, like looks like
the tipped edge.
Yes.
The what is it called?
I want to call them stabbers, but there's something else. What do they call? They look like, I mean, they look like they're pretty much tines. Like
kind of like a carving fork thing.
Yeah. It's very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you that's sawing off like pieces of like
meat.
Frozen meat and things like that.
I didn't know that existed. I was like, that's what that's
I just use my serrated knife. And be careful because the serrated knife could be the bread knife.
Mm.
But the bread knife has a rounded top
mm-hmm.
to it. And then, I mean, then you're going into tools more so.
No, that's a tool for sure.
Oh,
I just didn't even know what I've been thinking. I was like, man, what would I use this for? You know, I mean, I use it for little things. But, I never would even know that was, that's what it's for. I was like, I've
okay, so read me a little bit on the frozen food knife.
All right, so.
Let's educate.
The frozen food knife is always hard and rigid. These knives are designed to cut right through them with ease. A coarse sawtooth blade is usually part of the frozen food knife, which can be small but always cuts through a variety of hard materials, including metal surfaces. It is specifically designed with this purpose in mind. Wow, I didn't even know that.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I hope we at least gave you some insight into cutlery that you may not have
known before,
about.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I learned some things, so I'm hoping they learned some things.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, even though, you know, we're not going to run out and buy a frozen food knife or anything like that.
I already got one. Didn't even know it.
It's cool to kind of level up your experience in a restaurant or feel empowered at a new place. Or know that, hey, you just, I love learning. And, and you know, some of these things I already knew and some of these I just did not know. And a part of my journey, you know, sharing things with you, the listener, is that we learn things together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just the one that may have, you know, researched it, you know, a day or two before.
We're here to learn together because we're learning together. We're growing.
We're learning, growing, leveling up people.
That's right.
You know, that's what life is all about in this journey is learning,
we do a little laughter and have fun throughout.
Yeah, because the laughter lends levity to your experience, right?
Yes.
You, none of this is all serious.
It shouldn't be.
You know, if we're lucky enough to have, you know, a roof overhead and a ice cream fork,
exactly.
God bless you. Okay.
If you got a phone and you're able to listen to this podcast, you're already blessed.
Amen, brother. And if you like today's content, we will find a way to do the etiquette show. Some of it is visual, but I'll find a way to make it applicable to this platform.
Cool.
Okay. And I have a guest that I'd like to reach out to.
Oh, perfect.
To
I was going to ask you, we'd be able to talk us. Yeah. Cause.
Yeah. I mean, because I know some, but you know, I mean, it's a small percentage of what we
want to learn.
Not only that, what we can teach.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to reach out to an etiquette coach. And yeah, let me know if you're interested in that kind of content, you know, at the Modern Waiter podcast on the Instagram or themodernwaiter@gmail.com. If you want to email me, I do respond. I do listen. If there's something that I can, you know, I get show ideas all the time. And if that's in our wheelhouse that we're able to, you know, have fun with and disseminate some info, we got you.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Yes, that's what we're here for. And please, please, please give us a listen on some other podcasts that are very interesting in our niche, okay? Things like the Side Work podcast. Those ladies are pretty funny.
Hilarious.
And they champion all things service industry. And the Copper and Heat for your chef perspective. In Your Mouth podcast.
In Your Mouth.
Pretty cool guy. The Macaroni Zone and Confessions of a Server. He's building his library, and he's doing it all on his own.
Doing the damn thing.
Doing the damn thing. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVille. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe.
We will see you next time.
Later.
I'm so glad you came here. Your wait is now over. I'm so glad you came here. Your wait is now over. I'm so glad you came here. Your wait is now over. I'm so glad you came here. Your wait is now over.
Yeah, the dope is bad.